This is a replay of the Tuesday night, April 18th WGN show. We started at 10, as we will throughout the remainder of the spring and summer. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, which they won't for quite a while, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. A lot on my mind, and we will probably get to the metrics of happiness tonight. Well, your calls always take precedence, though. But along the same line, actually, more proof that more people are just on their last nerve. We have yet another shopper, diner, motorist, the drive-thru at fast food, McDonald's in particular, pulling a gun on the server. This problem was missing menu items. Last week, it was not getting a cookie. I am not making this up. Yeah, in this case, a young woman, 26-year-old in Florida, arrested for brandishing a firearm at two McDonald's drive-thru workers because an item she wanted wasn't on the menu. And she's been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill. I have no idea what her intent was. This was in Cocoa, by the way. And as I mentioned, it's the second time that a McDonald's worker in Florida has been threatened with a firearm in the last month. 24-year-old Amari Benti Hendricks waved a loaded handgun in Altamonte Springs, an Orlando area suburb, because she didn't receive that cookie. And I say to myself, people behaving badly, this is a symptom. This is absolutely not the story. The story is, why are people on their last nerve? And, oh, yeah, there was colorful language and all sorts of things, as you can imagine, and I'm sure there's a YouTube video somewhere, but you get the idea. But I do think it's indicative of where people are. They are just at a point where they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. And it's, and by the way, this is no justification. You cannot do this, and you will get arrested, and you should get arrested. But it's, while not justification, it's an explanation. And I was just seeing a story about Ireland and France and Ontario and some workers in Germany. And the deal is that in Ireland, France, and Ontario, they have right to disconnect laws. And in Volkswagen offices in Germany, workers also have that right. And what the deal is, it's been discovered that the most stress occurs among workers when they're staying connected after work. It's too easy when you've got that email address and customers write to you at all hours of the day and night. It's very easy for the customers, but the problem is that the workers are finding themselves in a position that if they don't respond, you know, when the wonderful surveys come around, are you satisfied? And you've probably noticed that. I don't care what chat you use for what business, afterwards you get a rate your chat, and you know that's directly influencing what the chatter at the employer end is going to hear in terms of feedback, or worse. It's also been discovered that the stress that occurs from after-hours communication is in fact impinging upon sleep time. And, of course, when sleep time decreases, attention spans also decrease with it. So you've got countries, and in some cases companies like Volkswagen, saying enough is enough. we're going to have right to disconnect laws, and I can understand it. And so what they're discovering is that after hours anxiety is placing limits on their effectivity, let alone their personal demeanor. And yeah, I don't think that anyone in the McDonald's incident was particularly disconnected or connected as far as that goes. But I went and got gas today. Major error, clearly. Yeah, because John reminded me that cars do run on gas, something that I seem to forget with alarming regularity, although I still had about an eighth of a tank left, which for me is a lot of gas. So we're talking 7/8 empty. All right. Average tank size. $101. Yeah. And then I looked at the price, and this is, by the way, this is one of the budget gas stations. This is not one of the most expensive gas stations around. This is a, you know, use your fuel points here gas station. $5.49. Yeah, and this worries me. It's not personally a question of whether I can pay the $5.49 a gallon, but I look at everything. We talk about this routinely. I look at everything and I say, how is the average person doing it? You know, it's not for most people, like you can drive less, because most people are driving out of necessity, not because they want to see the beautiful flowers and trees and all that. It's because they need to get to work or what have you. $5.49. Yeah. And I say to myself, when is this going to end and how is this going to end? Because it seems like the average person, I don't know how you do it. So if you've got a secret, let me know what it is. Otherwise, I'm alarmed. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And we'll kick it off with Stacy in Algonquin. Stacy, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, I can't complain. Other than, like I say, I'm a little uneasy with what's going on with pricing of everything.
You know, Raleigh, if my dad was alive and he heard how much the gas was, he'd jump on a bicycle.
Well, and that's fine when you can, but not everybody can.
I know. It's ridiculous.
And by the way, not every road will let you. You know, if unfortunately when you're going to point A, point B, you're going to have to get on a highway, very often it will say right on it, bicycle is prohibited.
I mean, if somebody's got to stop this, they've got to get the right people and the right offices and get Navy SEALs downtown. Oh, Raleigh, Chicago. My goodness, when I lived in the city, and even where Raleigh and I went, my mom and I went shopping on Michigan Avenue, all over. Mm-hmm. You could do anything, and it was just gorgeous.
Right.
All the stores, and now they made a mess out of it because they don't have enough police. They don't have, I say, get the military.
Well,
get Navy SEALs.
I don't
just
know.
Put them undercover.
See, I don't know what the answer is. I don't think it's as simple as that. When we're talking economic, I think that that's what worries me. It's on so many levels. And when you have the discussion, it very often devolves into a political discussion, and I don't want to have one of those. But we are at a point where I think we're almost at a tipping point, and it's dangerous. I don't know how it will resolve, but there's no easy answer.
You have to, Raleigh, because it's getting way. I feel so bad for the Ukraine, those people. And I listen to Bob Surratt. You know, he goes 7:30. He talks to, I think, Joseph Wesley or something. He's a reporter out there. And he's been out there since it all. And he just, you know, he tells Bob what's going on. And even if they're bombing and stuff, it's just
well, again,
totally
that's a whole separate matter. And I try to make sure we don't talk about politics on this show.
Oh, okay. I won't. I wanted to make sure. Let's see. We write the check.
The prosperity checks, yeah, tomorrow, and I'd say write it about 10 minutes after 11 at night or a little earlier. Because the new moon will either be at 11:12 p.m. or at 11:13 p.m. So I'd say write it by 10 after 11 at the latest.
Okay, and my birthday is Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy, happy birthday. That's exciting.
The 21st.
Uh-huh.
And then can I have some just a request?
Well, since it will be your birthday.
Oh, I'll make it. Well, how about just Alan Jackson, Chattahoochee.
Okay, I played that for you last week. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was good. That was mm-hmm. I heard that.
Okay.
And let's see. What's that other one? A Good Time.
Okay.
And I don't know, the last time I asked for, remember when Johnny D called in and said, oh, that was so sad. Yeah, but it was, you know, the song I have on, you know, when Raldo passed, my sister-in-law used that song.
Well, we played it, so this time we'll let you hear Chattahoochee again and Good Time.
And I'm trying to think.
All right.
Oh, what else? Well, I know you got tired of Lou Rawls.
Yeah, absolutely. We've kind of outdone Lou Rawls. That's a couple of them. Let me play those and then call me back with more.
Oh, and also, let's see. I know Laura texted me, so I think she's doing okay, and I think she's listening to the show, Laura.
Oh, good. Hello, Laura.
And then Karen was good
and
today.
And by the way, speaking of Laura in Des Plaines, birthday today.
Yes, Laura in Des Plaines.
So happy birthday, Laura.
Yeah, Laura's birthday too.
Yes, today.
Today, the 18th.
That's it. That's absolutely it. So happy to Laura and you on Friday. And think about it. After I play your Alan Jacksons, you can call me back with more, and we'll do it to it. I'll try to find one for you next.
Oh! I want to remember. That's why I called you first. If I wanted to ask anything when. Marianne will be on.
No,
the other.
Marianne has not called me back yet. I know Ted's been in the hospital, and I think he's home now, but we're kind of trading calls, and we haven't connected. But as soon as she is, I'll let you know the dates. And in the meantime, if anybody doesn't.
The other girl?
Yeah,
Lee?
Same deal. I haven't gotten back in touch with anybody, but I will.
Okay. Don't want to.
You won't miss it. I'll give you plenty of notice.
Well, I've got you on the phone. And John sounds pretty good.
All right.
And so how is your health?
I can't complain, but okay. I got Scott, who's a first-time caller, and I want to check him out next.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Do you want me to hold on?
Just call me back later. All right. Thanks, Stacy.
Okay.
Good deal.
And if I don't, you know, you have a good evening.
Well, and, you know, there's always tomorrow and Thursday.
Did you hear from Scotty?
No, I wish we had. All right. But
we'll
stay up on that, I promise. All right. So.
Okay. You take care.
You too. So now, always good to hear from Stacy, but I kind of defer to first-time callers because they're usually not too patient. And Scott is in Huntington, Indiana. So, Scott, welcome to WGN Radio.
Good evening, Rowling. I've been listening to you quite a while, and sometimes it's very hard to get in, but the other about 3 weeks ago, I heard you talking about Opa-locka.
Yeah.
In South Florida.
Absolutely.
And that's where I'm from.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I used to go to Opa-locka Elementary.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I live just north on 151st Street.
Uh-huh.
But I grew up down there, my brothers and I. And, you know, you guys talking about Alibaba Avenue and all.
And you went to school on Ahmad Street, as I remember.
On what?
Ahmad, 600 Ahmad Street is where that elementary school is.
I never heard it called that.
Well, now it's got a name, by the way. And you'll love
really.
This.
I was down there about 10 years ago. I almost had to go get drunk.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they've got Robert D. Ingram. Well, of course, it might have been a different elementary school because there are a few. There's Nathaniel Young. Do you know the address of the one you went to?
Not really.
Okay. Well, I know one address you'll never forget, and that's Alibaba Avenue and Scheherazade Boulevard.
Scheherazade
Boulevard.
Sh- Shahrazad?
Yeah, right. It's Shahrazad is how it's pronounced.
Oh, I never heard it called that.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole theme, the history of Opa-locka was, the whole theme was based upon, you know, Mideast stories. And, of course, you know the architecture.
Right. So, at the Opa-locka Park there, those towers at the county hall there, mm-hmm. that was taken, from what I understood, the Arabians.
Yes, well, that's the whole thing, and that's why Scheherazade Boulevard, you know, the knights and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, 151st Street to 125th Street. Yeah, the S Bunch Park used to go there far as buses
that
go.
Bunch Park, yeah, was east of where I lived.
Yeah, sure.
But my brothers and I, we all went to Opa-locka Elementary. That's what it was called when I went to school there, and the post office was right on the south side of it. And
okay.
And we played football at the park and basketball and everything. But you know, I want to tell you, when my dad was a union plumber, so he built most of those hotels down there along the beach there, where Marilyn Monroe was and the Fontainebleau and all those.
But
we used to go to South Beach to the surfing contest.
Yes, on First Street, back when Robey Young was the big kahuna.
You'll never guess who held that surfing contest.
Well, there were several people, but Robey Young, the big kahuna, used to do that.
Well, it was Rick Shaw, WQAM.
Well, right. Well, Robey, actually it was Robey at QAM, but Rick was there too as well. But remember, Robey was the one who claimed he could raise the surf. The only problem was there was no surf. But yeah, that was at that First Street Pier.
There wasn't much surf because the government cut. The jetties went way out. And there were 3 or 4 foot waves the day my brothers and I used to surf there. But, I mean, that's the best you could do unless you went out to Cocoa Beach.
Right. Oh, no, it was not good, that's for sure. And, of course, the dog track was right next door. And there was a lot.
No, I never
went
there, but we did a lot of fishing at the Hollover Pier or Sunny Isles Pier.
Oh, sure. Yep.
But those were, that South Florida used to be paradise when I grew up and lived there.
Yeah.
I was born and raised there in Miami Beach.
I could see Hollover Pier from my apartment, actually.
Really?
At Harbor House South. Yep.
Well, that's a nice area down there.
It's a lot nicer. It's actually a lot nicer now. It's much high dollar. You know, it was always nice, but now it's out of sight nice.
Yeah, I just can't believe the change down there.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's
now,
a shame.
Do you know
even where I went to high school, Carroll City High School?
Oh God, yes.
That's got another name too.
Yes, but
I live right north of Opa-locka, about 10 blocks.
Okay.
South or north?
North. All right.
I just had an Opa-locka address. It's really 151st Street.
Yep.
Just north of there.
Well, that's the town line there, northwest 151st Street in one direction,
right.
And 125th in the other. But before they did the Arabian Nights theme and developed it, the Native Americans are the ones who actually named it. And why it was named is the Native American word for Opa-locka was Opa-tisha-waka-locka.
Well, I was an archaeologist in South Florida, and they called it Opa-locka-tisha-waka.
Well, there
supposed to mean a town underwater, but I don't know where they got that.
It's supposedly big island covered with many trees and swamps.
Yeah, I don't know. I never saw any swamps. I saw some swamps here, but I used to go, when that one gentleman called in and he's talking to you about Highway 84.
Yeah.
I used to work in Fort Lauderdale for a long, long time.
Right.
I was an archaeologist down there, and I had a swamp buggy, and I used to go 27 to 84, and that was the end of 84, and then they put in Alligator Alley.
Right.
And I went west Alligator Alley. North was the Sawgrass, south was the Cypress, and that's where I did my work for the Seminoles down there. I found a lot of where the Seminoles were. They were chased there by the military, but...
Well,
it was really
great.
Interesting, all that down there. They had the Wild Hog Jamboree out there off Monroe Station, off Fort Tamiami Trail West.
Were you there the night that, I don't remember which airline it was, but it was a 727, mistook Opa-locka for Miami International Airport and landed the jet there?
Well, I was here the night my my girlfriend and I met, is my wife now. That was the night that jet went down. One of the jets went down in the Everglades off of 27 and
that was 401. That
Tamiami
was
Tamiami Trail.
Right. That was Eastern 401. That
but
was
that
horrible.
One you're talking about, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, what happened was I want to say it was Northeast, you know, the old Yellowbirds, but I don't know. But what I do know is the guy was talking to the tower at Miami International, landed at Opa-locka, and they literally had to dismantle the plane because the runways weren't long enough to take off.
Right. Yeah, that was where I lived, right north of the airport there.
Okay, sure.
And I worked there some, too, on small jets, but I just can't remember that. And then again, I might if I thought about it hard
You're
enough.
Right, exactly.
That was a big Coast Guard station there.
Yes, the Navy.
Those planes would fly right over our house going eastbound because I lived right off of 27th Avenue and 151st Street. Sure. Bunch Park was to the east of us. You know, that was...
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'm blowing the news. Stay where you are. And we'll pick it up there. Yeah, memories of Miami, but nothing stops for the everything should stop for the news, and now it will right here on WGN Radio.
Security. I've been in the wrong place, but it must have been the right time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong song.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's Mac Rebenack, Dr. John, the Night Tripper with Right Place, Wrong Time. And that was actually on the charts in June of 1973, and it got to number 9 ultimately around that time, and it was the perfect song for what happened. And talking about Opa-locka. And I had to pull it because I knew I had it somewhere on my notes. It was June 11th, 1973, that air traffic controllers realized that the pilot they had been talking to and in contact with was certainly going to make a fine landing, just not at MIA. Going to do that at Opa-locka. And they tried to radio them, and neither the pilot, who was James Bossy, or the co-pilot, Charles Melbourne, responded. And they did. They made an absolutely perfect landing at Opa-locka Airport. And this was a 727. There were 62 passengers on board. Everybody was safe. They had to put them on a bus and take them to MIA. But the deal is the runways aren't long enough, so ultimately United had to dismantle the plane in order to get it out of there. So that was June 11th, 1973, when, I guess it was prophetic with Dr. John, right place, wrong time. Well, yeah, I guess this is a case of right city, wrong field. So we're talking to Scott, who's originally from Opa-locka. All right, so when did you leave, Scott?
Well, I left right after what you just said. I left in December of 73.
Uh-huh.
And that runway, I think, starts at Bird Road and runs east.
Yes.
To 27th Avenue. But there's a lot between there now,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It stopped right there on the west side of Opa-locka, really. I mean, yeah. The other part where Miami-Dade Junior College is the other part of the runway. But
right.
But anyway, yeah, I had a great time down there. I lived in Paradise and saw some big sharks down there surfing, Sunny Isles Pier and down in the Keys.
Sure. But
after I saw Jaws that time up here, I never went surfing again down there.
Don't blame you.
And you know, it was just going to Hialeah and Coral Gables and all those places, and Hollywood, to the north, see the stock car races.
Right.
It's some of the best late model stock car racing I have ever seen.
Yeah, it was great.
That was so much fun. So much fun.
Yes, no, but it was anyway, a very different area. So where did you move when you left in December of 73?
I moved up here. I met my girlfriend on the beach down there in Fort Lauderdale, and I moved up north here to Fort Wayne, Indiana, for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I moved. Her and I got married, and I stayed just north of Fort Wayne and out in the country. And then I moved on her parents' farm. I still live on the farm today.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was homesteaded in 1853. The same family.
Oh, wow.
So, and one of the houses the gentleman owned over here, her dad owns over there, the house still stands. There's 13 people who lived there at one time. Four died.
Oh, wow.
And the people who lived out front of me, they used the house for a chicken house. And I've seen four ghosts. I've seen a girl twice. And one of them talked to me. And then I was scared to death. I got the hell out of here, but... I went outside, and then I was working out back, and I came around the back of the house, and there was a boy. I had a wheelbarrow. I pushed my wheelbarrow towards our swimming pool, and there was a boy and a girl about 15 to 17 years old standing on my back porch in pioneer clothes just looking right at me, and about 5 seconds, they poof, gone.
Wow.
It was the wildest thing I've ever seen in my life, and as many Indian mounds that I've dug on down in the Everglades, I've never seen ghosts. My friend saw one, a warrior, but...
Really?
That was the wildest thing I've ever seen. The same girl twice, once in the morning, and both times I was by myself.
Now, did you see her? Did she talk? Did you get any information?
Well, the first time was in the morning. I was waiting on my wife to come downstairs. She's getting ready to go to work. And then the second time was at lunchtime. I was by myself, and I saw her. She walked right at me through the kitchen. The other one, she went right behind me. I froze because I thought she was going to touch me. But I heard a bag rattle, and that's the only way I knew she was there. I looked to my left, and she walked right behind me. But when I was sitting there at lunchtime, about 2 months later, that's when I heard somebody in the living room in a raspy voice say hi. And I just got up out of my chair and went to the upper garage.
Yeah, I don't think I would have stuck around for a conversation either. So
I didn't want to have a conversation. I just couldn't believe what I've seen. I've heard of people saying around out here, you know, these places where old timers once lived. So I'm going to try to do some homework stuff on at the library about out here, but it's out in the country.
Well, why is it the Lime City?
What?
Huntington, Indiana is nicknamed.
Well, they got some big limestone gravel pits down there.
Are they still active?
Yep.
All right.
They got a big one at Fort Wayne.
Well, sure. But I guess that's the deal. Yeah, it always was called the Lime City. And
they've got some of the big concrete companies have some huge rock pits south of us. You know, I'm 8 miles south north of Huntington. I'm south of Columbia City, the same distance, but Huntington's got the rock pits.
Wow.
So it's
probably some hard water too, I would assume. Some very hard water.
Yes. I got a water softener in my home.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing about it. But, I've never seen anybody do anything different. But
right.
I've seen what happens if you don't have a water softener.
Well, if you like replacing the pipes every now and then.
Well, I've lived here, and my home right here, I built it because I was a carpenter for 25 years, and I've been growing vegetables commercially for that long, plus being a carpenter. But I haven't had any problem with the pipes. And I see what happens to the, you know, the toilet and the sink and the tub from the rust.
Yeah.
But I don't have that problem with a softener.
Well, good.
So, I mean, I've done some stuff in here and replaced the tub and things in time, but that's not because of that. It's just because my wife said, I want a new bathtub.
Right. Well, of course. That's right. That's right.
They
absolutely.
Got some very pretty ones out today. Really.
Yeah.
Those three, I think they're two-piece, really neat looking.
Yeah.
Just update stuff, so.
Well, good.
But anyway, I just want, when I heard you talk 3 weeks ago, I said, man, I'm going to keep trying. And
yes.
I couldn't believe it. I got through.
Oh, I'm delighted that you did, and I hope you'll call me again.
Yeah, I'm, you know, you're a very intelligent young lady, and you have some really great conversations with your listeners. I'm really,
yeah.
You really know a lot of stuff, man.
Well, I'm grateful to every one of them and to you, too, for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting me talk to you, and I lived in paradise, that's all I can say.
It was a great time.
Beautiful weather.
Yeah, you know, so funny that places only exist in time, and you just can't go back because they're not there anymore, not even a royal castle.
Yeah, really, those were my favorite.
Me too.
I loved the root beer and a little bitty hamburger.
Yeah, the birch beer and those frosty mugs, yes.
Yeah, my dad, I used to go to OLPH, Our Lady Perpetual Help.
Uh-huh.
Across the street was Parker's Market on 27th Avenue, right south of, I think that's out, you know, that road you were talking about, Shar or whatever it was.
Yeah, Scheherazade Boulevard,
There was a Royal Castle right on the corner, and after church, Dad took us there every Sunday to get a hamburger and fruit beer.
Yeah.
And a skating rink, Opa-Locka skating rink.
Right. Well, that's great memories. Call me again.
Yeah, thank you. Good night.
All right, bye. So, and good to meet Scott. We'll talk to Lou in Nashville and Marianne in Chicago, James on the South Side, who gave me 8,342 news stories. And like I say, people behaving badly. And, you know, some of them, it's kind of funny, as long as you're not on the scene to see it. But I think it is indicative of everybody's kind of at their last nerve. And hopefully that's why we don't talk about politics and stuff like that at night. Hopefully this show is a respite and we can just have a good time. I know if you listen to me, you love radio. Well, so you're probably aware of the C. Crane catalog and Bob Crane. If not, boy, you should be. Bob Crane was like every radio lover, just disgusted with the current radios that had a lousy reception, and the difference is that he did something about it. He came up with radios and still does to this day. Even though he's not actively running the company, he is still designing radios. And every one of them have one thing in common. They've got terrific AM and terrific FM reception. And a lot of other features too, like the CC Radio 3, the almost everything radio, with the addition of Bluetooth. You got an immense palette of radio shows and podcasts available from any smartphone or speaker. But if you want to hear them better, well, use the CC Radio 3. If you listen primarily for voice content, the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone for that. The audio quality of the spoken word sounds like the host is right next to you. And you can adjust your perfect pitch with bass and treble controls. Great reception, like I say, whether it's AM or it's FM. Yeah, put this next to the standard radio built today, it'll just blow it out of the water. In addition to AM and FM, though, you get emergency capabilities like NOAA weather and the 2-meter ham band. And let's face it, you normally don't think about the 2-meter ham band, but when there is a real emergency, that's where the first responders will be talking about it, most likely first, and you'll hear it long before you'll hear it on the news. It runs on the included power cord, of course, or a set of batteries for over 170 hours. And yeah, I put that to the test. Yes, that's for sure. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, read all about it, ccradio.com, or you can order by phone. They're there 24 hours a day, and you talk to them, and that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But the best thing to do is go online to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 3. Also, there's three additional radio models with weather and weather alerts as well. And sure, you can do faster shipping at Amazon or REI or Bi-Mart, but for the real deal experience and great information as well as great products, ccradio.com. You look at that CC Radio 3, you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
There'll be a day that you want my. There'll be the day you want my love.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and usually I time the records to something happening at this day in the history or something we're discussing, but I'm not 100% sure. Darlin' was just going through my mind all afternoon, and I had to hear it. Donnie Gerard. Yeah, 1977 on Greedy. And I think that's my favorite soul record from Vancouver, SBC. I know you're saying, well, how many from which do you have to choose? Not a lot, but thanks to Red Robinson, more than you might expect. But yeah, Donnie Gerard, Darlin'. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Going to get a couple requests in here, I do believe. Mary Ann is in Chicago. So, Mary Ann, what do you want to hear?
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey.
How are you?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
Okay, I don't know if I misunderstood you. I hope I did. I thought I heard you say Scotty has passed.
No, oh no, I have no reason to believe that. We just haven't heard from him.
Okay, maybe you said something with the word past, P-A-S-T. Because I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
No. We have not been able to raise him, and I do have a friend that in May is going to go in person to try and check it out. But we have not heard, and I am increasingly concerned.
Yeah, me too, because, you know, when somebody breaks their pattern like that.
Yeah, I know.
And when you said you got that message on his phone.
Yeah, I know.
And my friend that I recently lost, I called her cell phone, and I got that same message.
Yeah. Well,
it basically means, I think, that it's been turned off.
Well, like I say, I hope...
Hopefully he just got a new phone and can't get to you,
for,
I hope.
Yeah, I do too, that he's indisposed for the moment for whatever reason, but we'll keep at it, and hopefully we'll know something for sure in May.
Yep. Well, you were asking how people are getting along with these prices.
Yes, how are they?
I'm barely have my head at the level of water. I'm
and
retired.
So,
I'm on a fixed income. I am on disability since 2014. I'm tethered to my walker. I'm hoping to get a hip next month.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can work a few hours. But when I first moved to the apartment I'm in now, I would go grocery shopping, and I was able to afford delivery. Now it's I have to go three times a week and get what I can and lug it up the stairs myself, because I can't afford the $25 delivery charge.
Right. Are you are you changing what you're eating?
Kind of. I have an elderly dog here, right? 6 pounds. A lot of times we share a meal.
Okay. All right.
So that helps. And as far as riding a bike, I hope to. I have two bikes in my garage worth up to $1,000, but with a bad hip, I can't ride it.
Oh, no. Well, and
I will try to go short distances on that once I can.
Right, if you can. Right, exactly.
Right.
But that,
and the thing, being housebound, even though the gas went sky high, a tank of gas lasted me 2 months because I couldn't go anywhere.
Right, so that part didn't affect you, but the food prices sure did.
Exactly. They said, oh, well, you're getting an 8% raise on Social Security. I said, yeah, but groceries went up 13%.
Well, precisely. That's the...
I'm still 4% to 5% in the hole here.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And
I cut back on my cable. I got rid of all the premium channels.
Yeah.
I might call up and just get rid of it. I don't do any streaming. My cell phone is a $25 a month cell phone.
Right.
That cost me $25 at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
My friends all have $600 bougie phones. I'm like, well, good for you.
No, and there's so many MVNOs like Visible or Straight Talk or many of the other ones that you can get really cheap deals monthly.
Exactly. I mean, it does what I need. I got unlimited talk, unlimited text.
Right.
And media that I can look at when somebody sends me something. But that's all I need it for.
Right.
But one of the reasons I called was I wanted to request a couple songs if
okay.
I could.
What you got?
Okay, the first one, could you play me anything by Roy Ayers?
Oh, okay. Oh, I like Hot.
I haven't heard him in forever.
I like Hot. That's what I'm going to play.
And the other one is... Boss Skaggs, Miss Moon?
I don't know. I'll look for that.
Oh, I saw that on TV on Channel 11 one time. Oh, God. Then I saw him in person, and he sang it. It's a kind of little boppy song that everybody just wants to get up and, you know, may
All
I
right.
step with you kind of thing.
All right. I'll check
it
out.
It's a really pretty song.
Don't know, but I'll find it. And yes, Roy Ayers, I'll get hot on for you.
You mean I found a song you didn't know about?
Oh, there's a lot of them. There's so many.
Oh my God, Raleigh, I can't believe keep that a secret, okay?
No, don't bother to keep it a secret. I'm proud when I don't know these white boys' music.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know. You're talking about 70s white boys. This is not an area in which I excel.
Okay, because I was kind of brought up on almost everything.
No, I don't.
My teenage years were spent with between WCFL, WLS, WVON, WGRT, Donna, Your Tittle in the Middle.
Yeah,
Western.
Of course, you know, when Lowdown was a hit, I was forced to play it because I was still playing records. So, and that was never a favorite. So, but there are some that I'm willing to hear.
Give it a try for me, and you just might like it.
Well, you're right. I might, and I'll look for it. I'll let you know.
Okay, everybody. Okay, good night.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
So, indeed. So, Miss Moon, I don't know, but I sure know Roy Ayers. We can do some of that. Let's see. Lou in Nashville has some requests. I've got about a minute left this hour, but 2 more hours to go after this, so don't go anywhere. Lou in Nashville, welcome to WGN Radio. Well, Lou in Nashville left us. Lou has left the
booth. Oh, no, I'm here.
There you are. All right,
no,
Lou.
I'm here.
All right, so speak up. What do you want to hear?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right.
Yeah, my request is to play Shaboom by the Corns.
Oh, sure. Happy to.
Yeah, I like the linguistics in there.
Yeah.
I called you months ago.
Uh-huh.
I was in Tampa.
Yes.
I moved to Nashville.
Oh, great.
With my better half. And what better place for a ongoing never die musician. So maybe I'll wind up on Broadway one night.
Yeah, so what part of Nashville did you move to?
I am Nashville proper. We're looking for a home in Murfreesboro.
Okay, Murfreesboro,
so
all right.
We found the right spot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right, all right. Well, I live just outside of Bellmead at Wessex Towers.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
Highway 70, yes.
I will.
Yeah, Highway 70.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right. Well, great. I will get you Shaboom tonight, I promise.
Oh, thank you. Well, I love your show.
Thanks.
Being an old musician, you bewilder me with your knowledge. Just keep on going what you're doing. I wish you the best.
Well, you too, and call me again soon. Let me know when you get that house.
Yeah, I will.
All right, thanks. Appreciate
good
it.
Good night to you.
So, good deal. Yes, Shaboom indeed, and Roy Ayers and Boz Skaggs, and oh yes, yes, we haven't forgotten Alan Jackson. We'll get to John and Waukegan right after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's my favorite Roy Ayers record, Hot, 1985 on Columbia. Jack Armstrong loved that song. When he was in Los Angeles, he had the misfortune of working for the CBS FM group, and they were trying to do Top 40 and never had a soul, to say the least. But he did this Wednesday night gig at the Bonaventure downtown. And, of course, I became very attractive because I lived downtown and had free parking. So that's right. So every Wednesday, Jack would come, and we'd go out and usually go to South Central and eat chicken. Chicken George, yeah, and others. And then he'd gone over to the Bonaventure. I remember one night he said, I got a great record I think they should play. And I said, what? He said, Roy Ayers Hot. I said, that's a wonderful record. You will die before that's going to be on your radio station. And he said, well, they can't stop me from playing at the Bonaventure. I said, well, that's for sure. So Hot. It was not a big hit, but it did chart. Not on the pop charts, but on the R&B charts it did. And made it to number 20. I think it charted finally in 1986. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And that is going to take us to John in Waukegan. What's happening tonight, John?
Yes, hello. I heard you talking earlier about the gas prices.
Yes.
A lot of the Republicans, they're putting that those prices, high prices, on the president. But I can say I don't think it's the president that's raising the prices. What's raising the prices of gas is this COVID put a lot of people out of work. And when people lose jobs, the company is going to go up on their prices to get back their losses. So I think President Biden did a real good job by reaching out to everybody trying to help them with their rent and the houses and stuff like that. And the Republicans,
here's the thing. I'm going to stop you for a moment here because, John, we try to keep it a political free zone at night. I don't really like to talk about that. What I will say, and you notice, I never talk about why. I just talk about how are people surviving this? And that's my question, not a question of why is it happening and who's to blame if there is a blame and all that. That's for other shows. But for us.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to the gas situation.
So what I'm asking is, how is the average person making ends meet? Where's the money coming from? When you're paying $100 to fill up a gas tank, how are people doing it?
Well, they're doing it stressfully. But the situation is, if you work in a place, in a building with a lot of people, mm-hmm. like hospitals or factories or places like that, you know, people could put on the board, you know, they want to carpool. They could carpool it with other people. Like, they could drive their car 1 week and then, you know, change up, you know, with someone else driving it the next week. And you just pay your rider so much. That would cut down if you can get you, like, one or two riders.
Do you think people are doing that?
That's what I used to do, and uh-huh. and you know, we put it on the board, on the bulletin board. You know, looking for a rider, you know, a carpool rider, and you know, that's my information for people that's looking. And if you go on near someone's job, you know, like in the neighborhood, you know, you got someone, maybe you going down the expressway, maybe a mile or two, and then your neighbor works, you know, anywhere near the expressway. What you could do, you know, they could just, you could just get up maybe like, a little earlier, half an hour earlier or something like that, and just drop them off. And they could pay for if they have to catch a bus or something. But carpooling right now should be the thing for people that could carpool.
Right. No, I think if you're in a situation where there are other people working near you and living near you, that it makes all the sense in the world if you're working about the same hours. Hopefully people are doing that. But right now, I got to tell you, when I look around on the highways where I am, I don't normally see more than one person in a car. A lot of people driving by themselves.
Yeah, well, that's my message to listeners, you know.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Try to find you a carpool, you know, because what you could do, you know, you could drive sometimes if you got a car.
Yeah.
You could drive 1 week, and then if you can get you two riders.
Right.
You know, that would be great, you know, two or three.
Sure.
And that would split your bill down more than half, you know.
Yeah.
So that, good. That's
Good suggestion,
that's,
John.
That's my idea.
All right, I like it. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Right now.
So, yeah. All right, sure. And, carpools. I remember when I was a kid in school. Yeah, parents used to do that all the time, driving the kids to school. They'd carpool it. And, there were usually five of us in the car so that no parent had to drive more than once a week. And, God, even having to do that with five kids in the car, yeah, listening to the radio and singing along, yeah, tough work. But I think that is a great suggestion, if that's possible. Just like when you are in a city like Chicago, if you can do public transportation, of course, that can be a big help. And in general, though, I don't know how we're almost getting at a tipping point, it seems like, when you look at the price of food in the grocery store. And again, not pointing a finger at why it's this way. That's for greater minds than mine. But just how do you surmount it? You know, I got that sticker shock last week when I went for a small frozen pizza at the grocery store, and it was $11, and there wasn't even meat on it. Yeah, I'm still reeling about that. So I just worry that we're hitting that tipping point. But maybe, you know, maybe John is on to something. Maybe instead of more angst and anger, people will be more creative. Yeah. So if you've got creative suggestions, well, I'd love to hear them. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, which brings us actually to the metrics of happiness. And we will get to James on the South Side, who gives me so many wonderful links, and we'll go over some of this. But, you know, at a point where there is a lot of angst, and I think a lot of people on their last nerve, as we were saying earlier, seeing more and more articles on things like happiness. And the one that really hit me was actually something that Jerry Del Caliano, who is a radio writer, a media writer, had circulated on his Day Starters, where he comes up with things to think about. And he talked about Amit Sood's book. And Dr. Amit Sood is a physician at Mayo and wrote The Metrics of Happiness. Now, what's interesting about this is, according to Dr. Sood's research, there are about 100 events every day in our lives. Not major things, very minor things, but 100 of them on average. And only 4 of them are bad. 96 are good or neutral. That's right. So 4 are bad, 96 are good or neutral, on average, of course. And so what we're seeing is how many people are focused on the 4. And are unhappy and are saying, this is just a rotten day and all this, when in fact, there's 96 that they're discounting. And of course, you know, news media and stuff like that, they want to give you the stories that'll shock the hell out of you. Of course, I understand that. But the idea that we're maybe thinking in the wrong direction really hit home for me, because I've seen, you know, study after study in terms of how much we remember. And it's probably less than 4 instances out of 100. Our mind is very interesting in terms of what we record to have at our disposal, our RAM mind. That's right, random access memory. And I think some of the startling comparisons, I've got 2 good friends, and one of them no longer with us. And he grew up with his sister, and he had a checkered childhood, to say the least. But what happened was he did very well, was an adjusted, happy person. His sister, on the other hand, was absolutely miserable. I mean, she was just chronically unhappy. No matter what she undertook, it wouldn't work. And I mean, this was a highly educated girl. She went to medical school. She went to law school. You know, yeah, a lot of degrees there. Nothing ever clicked. Nothing was ever happy. And when you talk to her, it was always about, well, the childhood, the horrible childhood. And I thought to myself, you know, her brother, one of my closest friends, had the same childhood. They were relatively the same age. And all the accounts that she remembered that were so horrifying, he kind of looked at more with mirth, like, yeah, so what? And what I started to realize is she was shopping in the Mall of Life, and she was buying victimhood. The problem with buying victimhood is really simple. You have to be a loser, because if you're going to be a victim, you can't succeed. There goes your victimhood. So if you're buying victimhood, the price of victimhood is lack of success. And I'm not saying that this is anything that is conscious on any level, but it was so startling to watch that. Now, I had another good friend where a similar situation, and actually he wound up to be phenomenally successful. You know, we're talking guys who like fund things. You know, he's probably got $500 million today. But a few people knew he grew up in an orphanage along with his sister. And his sister's never held a job. She's never kept a relationship. It's on and on. The story is that she's just, you know, her childhood caused her to be just broken, if you will. And by all accounts, his was certainly equal on, you know, every level as far as show of horrors. Not everybody's situation is the same, but probably degree of horrors probably pretty close. And instead of him remembering it that way, you talk to him and he'd remember the good things. He'd remember the funny hat. Now, these two people were in the exact same situation. All she remembered was the horrors and all he remembered was the fun. And that's pretty extreme, but all that is to say that we're somewhat responsible for what we're choosing to dwell on. And so when I saw this Dr. Hood's research showing 100 events in the typical day today in 2014, and 96 are good, or, you know, at worst, neutral. 4 are bad. And how many people right now are dwelling on those 4? Yeah, so it's just something to think about. I'll leave it there for you, not meaning to pontificate, but I've been meaning to get to that for a while, because when I had read that research, I said, you know, this is really stuff you can use. So hopefully you did. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, talk to John in Covington, Kentucky. James on the south side with those links, and hopefully you too here on WGN Radio.
You're a very pretty girl, and all that's good. A lot of guys would love you if they could. When you add up all the hugs and every little kiss, get down to the bottom line and try to answer this. I want to know, messing up the mind of a lot of little girls.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Jerry Butler, of course, 1968 on Mercury. Are you happy? Got to number 9 on the R&B charts, 39 on the pop charts. Tom Bell and Kenny Gamble wrote that along with Jerry. Yeah, not a huge hit, but you never hear that much anymore. So there you have Are You Happy? All right, so John is in Covington. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I didn't want to tell you last night because I didn't want to tie up the line, what with it being trivia. I know it's a big night, but I did want to share with you and your listeners Friday. Well, first of all, thanks for playing Rubber Band Man for me.
Sure.
I appreciated that. But yeah. Friday, my grandson, my newest grandson, he came into the world 51 days before his due date.
Whoa, how many pounds, how many ounces, how long?
How long, I'm not sure, okay. But 3 pounds, 12 ounces.
Oh, wow.
And then he went down 2, but they say that's normal.
Yes.
And then he gained 2 of it back, but that was Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's doing fine.
Good.
Born on Pete Rose's birthday, yay.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, he's in neonatal. He'll be in there for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And they say that's, you know, my daughter-in-law came home today.
Okay.
here the one thing is, Friday or Sunday, we had this nice restaurant, I say rented out, reserved. I reserved the room, a whole room.
For the big 40th anniversary, of course.
Correct. Yes, and thank you. Anyway, so two families couldn't make it. I had RSVP, and dumb me, I should have had it the next Sunday. It was Greek Easter, so they couldn't make it.
Right, sure.
It didn't dawn on me when we filled the thing out.
Yeah.
And then my wife and my son and my daughter-in-law, well, my wife, she didn't want to go. She didn't go.
What?
Well, tell me about it. We almost got into an argument.
It's your 40th anniversary.
Hang on a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Stay right where you are. All right, we'll talk about this. Stay right where you are. We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large. Clearly, the world is, at control, alternate, delete right now. And 40 years marriage and you're not going to your own party? Well, we'll find out more. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight, talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was, a lot about living and a little about love. We fogged up the windows in my old Chevy. I was willing, but she wasn't ready. So I settled for a burger and a grape snow cone. I dropped her off early, but I didn't go home. Down by the river on a Friday night, a pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight, talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, went down yonder on the Chattahoochee. Never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was, a lot about living and a little about love.
Yeah. WGN Radio, I'm Bobby James. That's Chattahoochee. That's right, for Stacy, Alan Jackson, 1992 in Arista. Yeah. I don't think Alan grew up in Florida. Maybe he did, but to those of us who were children there, Chattahoochee was where your parents threatened to take you. It was the state mental institution. Now, of course, I was splitting my time. I was half the time in Florida and half the time in Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles is Camarillo. Parents were always going to drop you off at Camarillo if you didn't behave, but definitely Chattahoochee, which was the state mental institution in Florida. I was up on the Georgia line there. But it was funny. I guess parents all over did that because I had a very good friend in Indiana. He said, my mother kept threatening to take me to Muscatatuck. Yeah, that's it. So probably no matter where you're from, you got that. But yeah, I can't hear Chattahoochee without thinking I'm going to be dragged to the state mental institution. All right, probably belong there. All right, so John in Covington is going to explain. Now, come on. Here, you're married 40 years. You're having the 40th anniversary party. You've rented out a room, and your wife's not going?
Well, here's the thing. She usually gets what she wants, and I'll tell you this. I didn't make a big stink out of it because it was where she was. She took her rosary to the hospital chapel, and she spent her time there. Now, my sister-in-law, her sister, tried to tell her, look, my sister-in-law is a retired pediatric nurse, and she's just been retired a couple of years. And she told my wife, she said, look, if this was 20 years ago, you would have a great deal to worry about. But they've come so far. He's going to be fine. Go to the party. Well, nothing doing. She wouldn't have it. She had to be in the chapel. I let her have her way. I was a very accommodating host. So
what we're saying here is she was so overcome because of the physical state of her new premature grandson that she just couldn't allow herself to have a good time. She needed to be close to God in the chapel.
That's right. And so I just go on with it because, you know what, there's a whole lot of worse places she could have been.
Absolutely. And it's too bad it didn't dawn on her that God was at the party, too.
Thank you for letting me bend your ear.
Oh, man, I tell you what, she's lucky she's married to you because a lot of people would not have been accommodating about that whatsoever.
Yeah, you're right. I won't disagree with you. A lot of the ladies are like, I wish my husband was more like you. And it's like, well, they're not. So,
yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow. So I guess now things are looking up for...
We only got up to go from here. We never did fight about it. I just gave in to her. I always do.
So what's your grandson's name?
Isaac.
Okay.
Isaac, and his mother's name. His mother's first name is Taylor, so they named it Isaac Taylor.
Very nice. All right.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, hopefully Isaac Taylor will be home soon.
Yes, 2 weeks.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks.
You.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yeah, and it has medical science, which usually is an oxymoron, but has come a long way with neonatal, especially when you're in the right place. And, one of the big fears before is you over-oxygenate and you wind up with blindness and things of that nature. But I don't think you hear about that very often anymore. I think they have really gotten it down to the science it should be. So 888-876-5593. Is 8888 Raleigh. And that will take us to Joe in Indiana. Speaking of Muscatatuck, Joe, welcome to WGN Radio.
And a very good evening to you, young lady. Hi, Raleigh. I was listening to you talking about people that think of themselves as losers and people who think of themselves as winners.
Yeah.
Well, I heard a couple of years ago a story about a test or an exam that the psychologists were giving two little boys.
Uh-huh.
One was a pessimist and one was an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
They took the little pessimist boy and put him in a room full of toys, closed the door. They took the little optimist boy and put him in a room full of horse manure, and they closed the door.
Oh, I know where this is going.
So you're really okay.
Oh, yeah.
Here's
the bottom line. The kid with the manure was so happy because he wanted to know where's the pony.
You're exactly right, young lady. Have you been there?
No, but it just had to be. As soon as you said that, I said, well, if he's an optimist, where's the pony?
You got it. That's right, young lady. So how about this one? Imagine yourself in a maternity ward.
Oh, God. Okay.
I don't know if you've been there or not.
No, not blessed with that.
Okay. But all the little cribs are lined up. There's a little boy baby and a little girl baby.
Mm-hmm.
The little boy turns to the little girl. He says, hi, how are you? She says, hello. He says, I'm a little boy. What are you? And she says, I don't know. And he says, you don't know what you are? And she says, no. He says, well, I know the difference between a little boy and a little girl. You want to see? And she says, yeah. So he throws off his little blankie, raises his little feet in the air and points and says, blue booties.
That's great.
And that's all I've got for you.
All right. Perfect. So good to hear from you. Thanks, Joe.
Raleigh, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Keep
up the good work.
All right, you too. Call me again.
Bye-bye.
All right, so Michael. Michael is driving the highways and byways, and I'm so happy he's taking me along for the ride. Welcome to WGN Radio. Where are you, Michael?
Thank you, Raleigh. It's great to hear from you. You are the oracle when it comes to radio and broadcasting. I'm just overwhelmed by your knowledge and breadth of information. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not trying to blow smoke, you know.
Well, so where are you right now? Where are you driving?
I'm driving on my way to Kalamazoo from Chicago.
Okay.
On 80, 90.
Well, thank you for continuing to drive. It's getting harder by the day.
Well, you wouldn't believe what I see on the road every day, Raleigh.
Oh, I would, but... But even apart from that, I mean, you know, you're tracked within an inch of your life, Qualcomm and everything else, and hours of service. I mean, I don't know how anybody does it.
It's a lot of pressure, and I didn't realize how much respect professional drivers, CDL drivers, commercial drivers deserve.
Yes.
Until I was a commercial driver, because there's so much responsibility. You got an 80,000-pound vehicle, and... Basically, the color four-wheelers. The cars don't realize, you know, what it takes to stop this vehicle.
Well, right.
And they're very selfish, and we are scrutinized tremendously by everybody. You know, the law, lawyers, DOT, Department of Transport, I mean, police, public, and they're always looking for deep pockets. So what you can do is try to be as safe as possible, you know, and you can't control the weather, but we have a choice. On how to conduct ourselves every day in life, but in the context of being a driver, I can refuse to drive if I want to. And you got to have the temerity to do that. Say, look,
right.
It's dangerous, or there's too high winds, or whatever, you know?
Right, right. You know, you mentioned something that is a real thing of mine, is I can't believe that they have driving tests for everybody, but the standard four-wheeler never has to really understand what the stopping distance is on a loaded semi, and God forbid a loaded semi hauling liquid. You know, these should be things that are just innate, because, as you know, they're not violating traffic laws, they're trying to violate the laws of physics without realizing it.
Exactly.
And
these big tempers have baffles in the tanks, but still, there's inertia.
Of course, and everyone should be made to understand that. The other thing that bothers me is individuals who don't understand that everything they buy, and I don't care where they buy it, came on a truck. And people will argue that, you know, they'll say, well, it's on trains. I say, really? You got tracks to every store? Well, I buy it online. What, you think that it magically appears at your doorstop? No, I don't care where you get it or what it is. And increasingly, as you know, you've got municipalities that don't want you to stop, don't want you to park, don't want you to do this or that. And my answer would be, I'm not delivering.
There you go. All you can do is boycott. All we can do
exactly.
With our voices and stop acting, you know, right. To get some results, unfortunately.
Well, I agree, and that's why I support OIDA so much, because at least they're out there as a voice trying to do the right thing.
You know, number one, I wanted to mention this band, local band. I couldn't remember the name right now, but I was talking about Don Cherry.
Uh-huh.
And the song was, "And Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye." What was the band's name?
Well, it's a John D. Loudermilk record, and Don Cherry did a version of it, a country version, but he wasn't, he did a pop standard. It wasn't the original, you're talking about the Casinos out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, the Casinos.
And that, the Casinos.
That's the guy that lives in.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that the Casinos, that was Gene Hughes doing lead, and they really nailed it. Their production of "Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye" was the absolute best, and there were several before him, but no one nearly as good.
Well, what I was going to say is, last time I spoke with you, I mentioned Don Cherry,
yes,
living in Chicago Ridge, but it wasn't him. It's a guy named Don Pitak, P-I-T-A-K, the Polish name, and he said he was in the band, and I sat next to him at the bar, and he went up and played the song on the jukebox. He was in the Union of Musicians in Chicago, and I don't know if his name's actually given credit, but he said he was in the band, and that was his song, so... I don't know if you've heard that name. D-I-T-A-K. Don Dittak.
No, I'm trying to think of who I knew in that group. But, of course, Gene Hughes was the lead singer. But the only guy I know with a D would be Mickey Denton. I don't know Don Ditha. So, yeah. Now, like I say, a number of people went through there. But it was usually like Ray White or Pete Bolton, you know. And then there were some people like Herbie Seitzer. He toured, but he wasn't actually on any of the records. But, yeah, I wonder who Don Ditha is. I don't know.
Well, next time I see him, I'm going to give him your number and say, call into the radio station, speak to Raleigh.
Yeah.
And, you know, set the straight here, you know. And he's in his late 70s. He was a Vietnam veteran, you know, a good veteran, and he's a musician. So I'd like to hear his voice. Anyway,
sure.
The other thing I wanted to pick up is the subject matter tonight is something that I'm very close to, and that's positive thinking.
Uh-huh.
Thinking about, you know, how we can always take a look at what is good in our lives.
Right.
And forget about the negatives. And when it comes to relationships, we've all had bad relationships. And I always think of the good times I had with these relationships, even though they didn't really survive.
Right. Right.
You know, there were times, and I don't use that word hate. I don't understand why anybody would say that word. It's such a strong word. You know, there's always something good to be derived from everything.
Yeah.
And if we Americans could focus on the fact that we have so much opportunity, and it's really within our own selves to decide what we want to do with our lives and how we want to spend our time. And we have a choice every morning. I look at myself in the mirror and say, I'm looking at the problem. I have a choice. I'm going to be in a good mood or a bad mood, and that mood is going to affect everybody around me. It's one of the few things that we have control over. So I applaud you on this subject matter, Raleigh.
Oh, well, my pleasure. And, yeah, and I applaud you for driving and for keeping a good attitude while you're doing it. It's sometimes a challenge.
I have to.
All right.
No choice.
Well, call me again soon.
Anytime, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate you, and thank you for being on the radio.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for listening. Yeah.
Of course.
It's great. So, yeah, and I love riding, so thanks for taking me along for the ride. All right, so we've got Elizabeth, and we got James, and I've got another one of your requests coming up next on WGN Radio.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Shaboom.
Life could be a dream.
Shaboom.
If I could take you up in paradise up above.
Shaboom.
If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and open, we'll meet again. Boom.
Ding-dong, ding-dong. Shalang, lang, lang. Oh, whoa, whoa, pip. A bib, a dob, a dib. Oh,
life could be a dream.
Shaboom. If only all my precious plans would come true.
Shaboom.
If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, maybe we'd be so fine.
Could be a dream, shaboom. If I could take you up in paradise up above, shaboom. And tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again, shaboom. And hope we'll meet again. Boom, boom.
Eat your heart out. Crew cuts. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's the original Rosalie Chords with Shaboom on the Cat label in 1954. That was a subsidiary of Atlantic, and that was the only thing they charted with, but they were a very interesting doo-wop group. So, now I forget who requested it, but I had it written down on a sheet tonight, so glad somebody did. Anyway, 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And that's going to take us to Elizabeth in Rock Falls. How's it going, Elizabeth?
It's going pretty good, Raleigh.
Well, thanks for calling.
Oh, it's good to listen to you.
Thanks.
Someone mentioned Don Cherry, and I just wanted to tell you that somehow or other, our parents arranged for him to sing at our senior prom back in 1956.
Oh, my God. That was when he was really hot.
Yes. And oh my goodness, the girls we were all swooning, and I don't even remember what he sang. Probably his, you know,
yeah, band
famous
of,
song.
Band of Gold, no doubt.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But
oh,
he
man.
Was, oh my goodness. I don't know how they arranged that, because I'm sure he wasn't cheap.
No, I'm sure too. And Band of Gold was in 1955, his biggest song. So he was probably, I don't know, about 31 years old by then, and at the top of his career. And it was interesting, because while he was singing, he was also an amateur golfer. And he was like tied with Ben Hogan and just a few strokes behind Arnold Palmer. He was a big deal.
That.
Yeah. So was the high school on a golf course? Just checking. But
well, there were two golf courses around, on the outskirts of town.
Yeah, that,
I don't know if he played or not.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a nice thing. I have no idea why. He was born in Wichita Falls, Texas, which most people flying into Dallas, that's when the pilot says, we're making our initial descent over Wichita Falls. And he died in Las Vegas. So where was your high school?
In Sterling, Illinois.
Wow. I don't know how they did it. I maybe they had pictures. I don't know. But that's a great story. I love
maybe
it.
Maybe someone knew him somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
I have no idea.
Yes.
He disappeared out of nowhere that night, and we were all, oh, my goodness.
Oh, absolutely. What a great story. Thank you for calling.
I had one more.
Okay,
story.
Can you hang on a minute? Yeah, hang on a moment. Don't go away.
Okay.
Because the news waits for nobody, at least not for me. So we'll pick it up right there in moments, right here on WGN Radio.
I'm going to send in my 1044. I'm going to get my refund. I might lie a little bit, but think of all that money I'm gonna get, 'cause I'm old and I'm poor, and I'm gonna need me something to rest my soul. To the blood bank, Red Cross too. To my wardrobe, my Cadillac too. Money I wasted mad my wife, money I lost in divorcing her, plus the fortune she spent on a tea party, but all beyond my form 1040.
Income tax evasion, you better pay. Income tax evasion, oh, home of the love. Yeah. Income tax evasion.
On line one, I leave out the money I made off bootleg slave. On 3 and 4 and 5, I'll have to put down a few more lies. 'Cause the money I made in dividends and the money I got through trickery will stay right in the middle of my palm, 'cause it won't go in my 1040 form.
Income tax evasion, you better pay. Income tax evasion, and all of the love.
I live in a new address now. There's no trees or grass.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the Jesse James Singer, 1964, on the Bit label, Bay Area label. And, Jesse James is actually James McClelland from El Dorado, Arkansas, raised in the Bay Area. And he was a big local deal for a while there. In fact, Sly Stone sang on some of his 60s records. But Income Tax Evasion was just a classic. And no, of course, it never saw the light of day. But today is, yesterday now, I guess, because it's after midnight. But Tuesday, April 18th, was Income Tax Day. And if you're saying, how is that possible? Because you know that Income Tax is usually the 15th, which was Saturday. So you figure, well, it's going to be Monday. Well, the problem is that yesterday was an official holiday in Washington, D.C. Hence, April 18th. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Not all the states went along with that, so hopefully, if your deadline was yesterday statewide, you did something about it, but otherwise, if it was today was the day to either get your returns in or get your filings for extensions, and if you filed for an extension, make sure that you paid the taxes you owe or there's interest. All right, so enough of that unpleasantness. We're talking with Elizabeth in Rock Falls. And so, Elizabeth, I tried to figure out this mystery of why Don Cherry showed up at your high school in 1956. And I thought, well, he got married in 1956 to Miss America in 1956. And I thought, well, maybe Sharon Ritchie, Miss America, his wife for a moment there, was from the area. No, she was formerly Miss Colorado. Mm-hmm. She was in no way from the area. So I'd love to know who pulled what, because that was the height of his career.
Well, one of our classmates, I've been thinking about that, and one of our classmates was the niece of the very wealthy man who owned the steel mill here in town. They had a lot of money. A lot of money.
Wow. Well, maybe he just paid them.
He probably did.
Wow.
He probably did, because they've done a lot of things for the city. You know, they've helped out with a lot of things at schools, and so that could be the answer. But I'm not sure. And the person, my classmate, is now deceased, so can't ask her.
Wow. Well, I guess they couldn't have gotten Elvis, so they settled for Don Cherry.
I did see, what's his name? Oh, Humperdinck.
Engelbert,
We saw him in Las Vegas one time. We were, like, three couples went, and he was another one that made you drool at that time.
Wow. Well, you know,
in the 60s.
I never fully understood why a guy, Arnold Dorsey, would say, I'm going to become Engelbert Humperdinck.
I don't think so.
And he thought it would work. Well, it did work, of course. But so here's old Arnold, and
I don't know him.
Yeah, well, that's his name, Engelbert Humperdinck. He was born Arnold George Dorsey.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Kind of slow
to know. Yeah, it was some famous name of somebody. I forget who it was that was actually. I think he was like an operatic composer. Didn't he do Hansel and Gretel, Engelbert Humperdinck? We're talking in the 1800s. So
yeah.
I can't imagine. I'm thinking, did he drink? I don't know.
It's a very strange name.
Yes, exactly. It wouldn't be one that I would have picked.
No. Well, I have one little story quick,
yeah,
okay?
Sure.
I heard the man talk about the little children stories and the baby stories.
Yeah.
And this is a true story. When my grandson was in second grade, he had been sick and he missed school for a couple of days. So when he got back, the teacher said, well, we had a test while you were gone, and they have to have a makeup test here. So she took him in the other room, and he worked on his test. Well, when the teacher looked at it, there were just crazy, crazy answers. Nothing made sense. And she got so worried that something was really wrong with him, and she called in the school counselor and the social worker and the parents. Nobody knew, could figure out what was going on. And finally they called him in and asked him, you have all these strange answers, Glenn. And he said, well, the teacher said it was a makeup test, so I just made up answers.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
But he's always literal like that.
That's wonderful. That's perfect. I mean, I'd have given him an A just for that.
I don't know what they graded him at all, but
wow!
But he shocked everybody.
I think it's great. So how long ago was this?
Well, he's 23 now.
And what's he doing?
He's a student at Northern Illinois University.
Oh, NIU, sure. And what is he majoring in?
Well, he's majoring in communication.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I know.
Talk him out of it now. But although I think he'll be a great communicator, that's a wonderful, and you know, at that age, he wasn't trying for any points or whatever. He just thought it was a makeup test. That's perfect. I love it.
Well, I don't know if he has an end goal in mind yet, but he has a wonderful speaking voice and singing voice. And
wow.
He's a little musically inclined, too, but I don't know why. Where I said, what are you going to do with that? And he said, I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to make my mark in the world.
I bet he will. I'll just bet he will.
Whatever well, that means.
Well, keep me posted when he, you know, let me know when he's rich and famous, who he is, and I'm waiting to hear.
Okay, and I'm going to call back another night. I just got a shelter dog, and I need some help, some tips.
Well, so let's get the cliff notes of this. What kind of dog?
I don't know. It's a mixture of...
How big?
Collie, Sheltie, Elkhound, Norwegian Elkhound.
Oh, how big is this dog?
Medium-sized and very, very
active. Fat.
Overweight.
Really?
Overweight.
Oh, well, you
got to lose 20 pounds.
You can fix that. You can fix that. But actually, when you do fix that, if he doesn't have a lot of energy now, he's going to by the time you're done.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had him groomed yesterday, and I thought that would make him look thinner.
Well, I'm sure he's a lovely-looking dog. He might be a little on the rotund side, but you'll slim him down. But I think when you're telling me about this cross that you got some real activity there, so I hope you like to walk him.
Well, this morning I took him out, and he saw a squirrel and started after it. Yeah. And I'm 84 years old, so I just dropped the leash and let him go.
Oh, absolutely. Smart woman. Yes. Absolutely.
And it came right back to me. Just immediately came back. So.
Oh, good. Well, that's good news. But yes, you absolutely did the right thing.
By the way, his name is Mr. Chubbs.
Well, of course it is. Mr. Chubbs. Well, and
he's
so
living up to his name.
How many pounds does he need to lose?
15 to 20.
You can do that.
That's hard for a dog.
Well, you're just going to be starving him, but you can do this. And exercising him. The more he exercises, the more he's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're doing that.
Right.
We're doing that.
Yeah, you got to find more squirrels.
Pardon?
Find more squirrels.
Yeah. When I want a snack, I put him outside so I don't feel guilty.
Ah, well, that's a very nice dog, Mom. I think you're being very kind. Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear more about Mr. Chubbs. Give him a big hug for me.
We'll see. He has an appointment the 27th. We'll see if he's lost anything.
Oh, if you walk him every day and you find him a squirrel every day, he'll have lost.
He needs a treadmill.
Well, you know, I had a friend who actually was a guy I worked with, and he got a treadmill as a trade from a sponsor, and he got another one, and I said, wow, can I have it? He said, no, I got it for the dog, and I never forgave him for that. He had his dog tread alongside him. So, yeah, you could get a dog. They're very trainable that way.
I don't know if I could do it.
Well, you can do it slowly, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to do much of an incline and, you know, go basically a mile an hour. You'll be fine.
Well, now I can go to sleep thinking about Don Cherry tonight.
Yes, you can, and we'll all wonder how he got there. All right.
It took me back to being 17 years old.
Wow, in 1956, better times.
Yep. Oh, they were the golden time.
The '50s were. We didn't know how good we had it.
No.
All right. Thanks.
Okay,
appreciate Elizabeth.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. Sure. All right. So good to hear from Elizabeth. Can't wait to hear more about Mr. Chubbs. But yeah, man, those '50s. We had everything to live for. Everything was looking bright. It really was. Well, that Danish modern furniture. Exactly why it was all either aqua or orange. Is a little beyond me, but that's for another night. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Been thinking about you all night. Guess you got me in a spell. Wow. And I think that I'll be all right. Even if I don't get well.
right, James, and that's Boz Scaggs' Miss Sun. All right, so Marianne had requested Miss Moon, and I said, I've never heard of it, Boz Scaggs, which didn't really surprise me, but apparently no one else has either, because I went looking for this record just now and cannot find it anywhere. So I finally decided maybe she meant Miss Sun, that one I remember, and that was 1980, got to number 14, and yeah, so I'm moderate. It was a big kind of pop adult hit. And of course, Bob Scaggs, I always laugh because one of his biggest records was Lido Shuffle, and I don't think there's a disc jockey in Ohio or Indiana who didn't get calls. Will you play Toledo Shuffle? Yeah, so, yes, indeed. All right, but Miss Sun, hopefully that's what Marianne wanted. I don't know. If she's found Miss Moon, she's doing better than me because I can't find it. So 888-876-5593. We'll start with James, the sender of 5,832 stories. So, all right, James.
How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. So, you outdid yourself on stories of people behaving badly.
Yeah, it's the hard thing was finding, like, there was, like, a couple of stories where it turned positive, like, where they found that had been missing, found alive. There's a whole bunch of miles away. Unfortunately, of course, some adult had, okay, she was living with an adult who basically, she was like a teenager. I'm like thinking, this does not sound right.
Yeah.
That was one story.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you say, well, at least she's alive. When I thought about an earlier one when they were saying, why can't, okay, and I was reminded of a request I wanted to make for Patsy Cline, why can't he be you?
Oh, okay. All right. We'll do it. Yes. Now, one of the stories I thought was interesting, the trial in Italy where a bear is on trial. And I'm very, very upset about this, of course, because the bear did absolutely maul and kill the jogger, no doubt about that. But the bear had two cubs nearby, so the bear was just protecting her young. In any event, they did stop them from shooting her on sight, thank God. JJ4 is the bear. They're going to have a trial.
Oh, boy.
About
but unfortunately, it won't be a trial of appeal.
No, it won't, and it should be. You know, they talk about the right to bear arms. I really think the discussion should be the right to arm bears. I just love them. And again, two of her cubs were right alongside her. And it's obvious that she was just heeding the call of nature to protect the cubs. It was unfortunate for the 26-year-old jogger. But nonetheless, you know, they wanted her, JJ4, shot on sight. At least they lifted that. But I'll be very curious to know how the trial is going to go.
Yeah, unless I think the closest thing I have to a trial appears is if you are environmentalists and bear lovers.
All right. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll get to more of these stories because James outdoes himself every time. There's room for you, too. We got a half hour more tonight and, of course, a full show tomorrow night and Thursday night and every weekday, Monday through Thursday, live thereafter from 10 to 1. Right now, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large from WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
Long punching that clock dust till dawn, counting the days till Friday night. That's when all the conditions are right for a good time. I need a good time. Yeah, I've been working all week and I'm tired. I don't want to sleep and I want to have fun. It's time for a good time. Cash my check, clean my truck, put on my hat, forgot about work. Sun going down, head across town, pick up my baby and turn it around. Good time. Oh, I need a good time. I've been working all weekend, I'm tired, I don't want to sleep, and I want to have fun. Time for a good time. Hey! We'll be right back. taught us about singing along, Bo Seaver songs, rowdy friends all night long. Good time.
WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. That's Stacy's other Alan Jackson request. Yeah, happy player for her. Good time. All right, so before we get back to James and the stories, and I want to do that, I want to say that Marianne called back. Well, good. So, was it Miss Moon? Do we not know this song?
Ding, 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 ding. You have a winner.
It was Miss Sun, huh? All right.
Yeah, I guess it's a little confused. Miss Sun, Mr. Moon.
Oh, but I see. Well, yeah, I mean, I tried. I looked it up. I thought, well, I don't know this song, but all right.
Good. Now, what did you think of it?
Yeah, no, that I've heard before. I have heard it before because it was kind of a pop adult hit. It's, you know, it's Spa Skaggs. All right, what can I say?
Yeah, it's a little boppy tune, but thank you for playing it.
Oh,
and
sure.
I'll let you get back to John because I love him.
Yeah, it's a James on the south side. Yes.
I'm James. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
He is so funny. He has the best story.
Well, and he has these links that are, I'm telling you, literally, I mean, it's not really 5,000, but there are easily 100 a day. So he outdoes himself.
Well.
All right.
I'm going to let you get back to him.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for playing my song.
My pleasure. All right,
but,
so.
Oh, you know what? One thing.
What?
I said, when I called, I said to John, could you pass a message to Raleigh and tell her she got my song right? He goes, I don't do that.
Right, right. He's he's forbidden by me from that because I want people on the air. And so that's
I figured I'd already been on the air.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. No, so he doesn't take messages and we don't do texts. We don't know how to do that.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, only way to get to me is on the air on this here radio station. That's right, Monday through Thursday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., 888-876-5593. And, that's the way that works out. So, back to James. And
okay. When I think about this, some of the, the times that we live in, I was thinking of another Patsy Cline song that's not as well known, but it was a hit in its time, Strange.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, the last one of a request would be Sweet Dreams.
Oh, big hit.
For a little
big
bit
hit. Yeah, right. Big, big hit. Yeah, but I'm going to try for Why Can't He Be You. See, I haven't heard that in a while, and I think that'll be fine. I don't know if it's on this computer, but if not, it's nearby. Okay, it is.
Okay,
it absolutely is. It's sitting right here on this computer. So how nice. Now let me make sure that it's Patsy Cline because it's just a title. All right. No, it's Loretta Lynn's version. All right. Well, we can't do that. So I'll find Patsy. Yeah, I'll find her.
Okay. But let's get back to the There was some that had me. Okay. I almost forgot to mention. Okay, when the person who called you the last week about the theme song for the ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Yes.
The song. Okay, I happened to come across it on a YouTube thing.
What is it?
So I sent you sent the link to it, sent the
you
thing
did?
On the. Okay, because it plays in it. It plays the whole audio of it, including the voiceover.
It does? Now, why am
I... Yeah, I'll send you another one. You probably have bopped it out by now.
I don't know. I mean, I put all your stuff in a folder normally. I mean, other weird stuff appear in the folder, but usually it's just you. And did you put something in the subject line that would have told me?
I think I probably, but I know it was a YouTube video, and I know how you hate YouTube videos,
right.
But it's not really a video, it's more like an audio.
Yeah, right, well, it doesn't matter, but no, I mean, this is one where the guy was looking for this, so that would be fine. I'm checking all your stuff. Most of the stuff you send is Newsbreak, of course, but let's see, I'm looking, I'm still checking, one moment. You don't know what day it was, huh?
I think it was Wednesday, because I think the guy, okay, it was right as the show was ending. It was either Wednesday or Thursday, right as the show was ending.
Wednesday or Thursday, you sent it. Well, here's one that says no subject. No, that's, is Longhorn Steakhouse worth it? All right, well, I don't know. So let's see what else. I wonder if it was before or after Longhorn Steakhouse. Let's see. Prince Harry wants to prove he's more popular than good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
He should stop it.
Yeah, right. You can just end the sentence there. He should stop. That's about it. But now I'm looking, and
I'll send it again to you. Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. I should be able to do this, but I guess I'm failing. Yeah, people who think that while I'm on the air, I just look things up. You're seeing how long it takes me to look up anything, so that's not it. All right, here's another.
Yeah, and I know, like you said, like when you got like thousands of ones to go through,
oh, God.
You can't. Yeah, that's. It doesn't matter how fast you are.
No.
That's time.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So I'll look for you to send that again, since clearly I can't find it. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll send it again, because sometimes I figure, since that I sometimes say duplicate, just in case.
Ah. All right.
But okay. But anyway, let's see. There was like the. The problem is of people who just, I tried to stay away from the political stuff. When I ended up with it, I just batched it together. That way you could just simply eliminate it in one fell swoop.
Right. Well, I saw the pictures you sent of Jack Nicholson, and I'll tell you what, the people who say that he looks so terrible, my God, the guy's 86 years old. He's standing erect. That's all he needs to do. So,
doesn't have to do a single
or anything else. He can do whatever.
Yeah, he's earned the right to relax.
Yeah, so looked fine to me. So,
I'm thinking, please, people, just simply let them, he's given you that you can watch again and again and again to your heart's content.
Yeah. So there you have it. Like I say, a lot of people behaving badly, a lot of murders, and nothing worse, though, than that 84-year-old guy who shot a teenager who knocked on his door. That was unacceptable.
Yeah, and then there was a story a few days later of a poor lady who got shot and killed. Upstate New York, I think it was. She had her friends had taken the wrong street, and they thought the place was there, and they had parked, and then they realized it wasn't. They had already were pulling back out. When the guy fired out and hit him.
Oh, yeah, it was so, I'm glad they arrested the guy. I don't care if he's 84 years old. The kid did nothing whatsoever, just knocked on the door. So that was completely unacceptable. Now, John came in to let you know that Jack Nicholson has a Facebook page, Sunglasses Jack. And he says it's a lot of fun. So, of course, I'll never know. But for those who are on Facebook, Sunglasses Jack, a lot of fun. All right.
Yes.
So.
And, but you want to know something? Unfortunately, the history has a bad habit of repeating itself. Remember the Japanese exchange student who happened to be lost and he knocked on a door? I think it was in Texas. I think it was years ago.
Yes.
About 15, 20 years ago at least. He happened to knock and he got shot. Okay, he happened to be lost. He was just trying to find somebody to tell him where he was supposed to go.
Yeah, this was Louisiana. This was on, I think this was actually on Halloween. He was a 16-year-old kid in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and then, of course, Then there was like the case of the guy who his girl was like, I think was like a few minutes, I think maybe about an hour late in her curfew, so she snuck in. Her father, okay, that was another one, and basically he thought it was an intruder into the closet area.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was his girl who was just tried to get in without him knowing that she had gotten in just a tad after her curfew.
Yeah, well, obviously that was an error, and no doubt about it. But it's not lost on me that the teen who was a clean cut, good looking teen happened to be African American, and this 84-year-old just opened shot him. The kid of the Japanese exchange student, obviously Japanese. By the way, did you know that the guy who shot him got off?
Yeah.
And he was acquitted. There was a trial, but it was Baton Rouge, and he was acquitted. And so,
And in concern. Japan, they were like screaming about this case.
Well, of course,
as I remember,
of course.
And actually, yeah. And here's the irony: there's a case that took place during the pandemic where I think an American stationed over there. I think he had an accident where he killed a pedestrian. They arrested him.
What's really sad is the heart of these stories never comes out because it immediately turns into a political football for gun control. And you wind up losing all of the nuance of the story as both sides fight for what they think is right. They capitalize on this. I always say that is that's the fastest measurement of time. Never mind the speed of light. It's the time between a shooting and the call for gun control. And all mayhem breaks out.
And it's sad. And then, of course, we try not to go into the political thing, but you know, Chicago, of course, got bloodied over what happened downtown, unfortunately. Oh, but we won't go into that.
Oh, no, Chicago, sadly. It's so sad. Hopefully times will change.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think if there was, there might have been one or two rather positive stories there. Unfortunately, let's see, there were too many that were bad. In fact, I kept wondering, what I'm going to
do. I know,
they
I know.
A bottomless well, especially
when you hear things like a Kansas cop is a serial child molester and police killed a friend and banned him. I mean, on and on it goes. It's not a happy time. But you find good stuff as well. A rapist who won $8.9 million in a lottery has full access to his money. Well, I don't know if that's a good story or not now that I think about it.
It's a weird story, but at least the state is in profit. And I mean, I would to think that he at least gives a little to his victim.
Oh, God. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath. But
Oh, and the guy who, the tech guy who got killed in San Fran, he was trying to do good, just trying to say after a friend's sister. And he ended up being on the bad end of it. And then it was worse. Somebody saw him trying to ask for help. He was wounded, and he was still very much alive at that point, and the person ignored him.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. The one story, and it's sad, I shouldn't have laughed, but a store employee quit after she was the only one to show up for work. She said, "Today's my last day."
said, "You know something? Okay, I knew a friend who basically, they kept on adding work to her."
Yeah.
And she said, okay, they said, "Oh, we're just re-changing your job description."
Yeah.
And they had, this is about the fifth or sixth time they had done this.
Yeah, no, I know. I absolutely understand it. And I know, at least for me, a lot of people are complaining now that all the fast food places are asking for tips. My feeling is I will tip anybody who actually showed up for work. I make it a point to do that. All right, so thanks for all the links. Yeah. They are just wonderful.
Okay, you're welcome. And John is sounding better.
Oh,
hey,
good.
Okay, in a year he'll be, God willing, he'll be fit as a fiddle.
We're counting on it. Thanks, appreciate it, James.
Okay, and good, and Scotty, okay, if
yeah.
they're trying to make you into the $6 million man, hey.
Yeah, that'd be a great story. I hope that's what it is. Thanks.
Yeah, all right. Me too.
So,
okay,
good deal.
You take care.
All right, you
God
too.
Bless.
So 888-876-5593 if you want the waning moments. If not, remember, tomorrow you get 3 hours at me starting at 10 right here on WGN Radio. Well, good night, everybody. Yes, according to Adam at WGN Radio Master Control, he said, that's about all you have time to say, so I said it. That's a wrap. We thank John for keeping us on the air, well, for screening your calls. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank you for calling, especially. I sure do. We'll do it all again tomorrow, 21 hours from right now. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.